there, too. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Delta giving airport employees permission to offer passengers up to almost $10,000 in compensation to give up their seats on overbooked flights. More at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
All right, and welcome to Radio Wasteland. So we've had several shows here over the past, where are we at, about a month and a half, maybe five shows. We've dealt with Bigfoot, we've dealt with moon conspiracies, pandemics,
zombies,
ghosts and hauntings. Pretty much every show is touch based on zombies. I'm not really sure why, Joe, but they seem to come back to that. And, you know, it was inevitable that at some point we were going to touch down on UFOs. So, I often talk to people about UFOs and, you know, they're just, oh, I don't believe in aliens. And you don't have to believe in aliens to believe in UFOs. You could be a government conspiracy theorist. All UFO stands for is unidentified flying object.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'll point in an airplane when I'm driving with my kids and say it's a UFO, and they'll say, Dad, it's an airplane. I say, well, tell me what kind of airplane.
Right, totally.
You don't know?
Well, now I know.
It's a UFO.
I didn't know when I initially
pointed. Yeah.
Dad needs his glasses.
Yeah.
Look at that fuzzy ball up there. Yeah. That's why, you know, often I'm on my back porch looking up at the night sky, and I often think, oh, man, I'd love it if I could see something. But then I realized that I drastically need glasses. And I am probably not the guy to make a distant sighting.
So a Volkswagen bus driving down your road may be right. Misclassified as a UFO.
Right. Yeah. In my case.
Yeah.
But so I'm really excited to address UFOs and aliens in general, because of all the conspiracies or whatever you want to call them, of all the legends and ideas, this is the one that I can confidently say is true. I don't know if they visited us, but as a fan of science and having some grasp of the magnitude, the astronomical magnitude of the cosmos, the likelihood that there isn't some sort of life out there.
Wait, that's a big leap from, you know, it's true from likelihood. So let's classify what do you know is true? Is it that there are unidentified flying objects that are really being seen in the air, or do you think they are aliens coming here from another place?
I think that the statistical likelihood that there's life outside of this planet is beyond, it is in the 99.99999 percentile.
But that doesn't mean that they drove their car over here to come visit
no,
us.
No,
right?
That's not I agree with that.
But what is that what you mean by that, you know, it's true? The UFOs we see here, you're certain those are from somewhere else?
No, I'm saying that I'm certain that life is out there, which makes me believe it's totally possible that life came here. But I am confident that life is out there. I was working at my buddy's Matt's, and I was working with Rachel. I'm going to call you out, Rachel. And we were talking about different conspiracies and who believed in what and so on and so forth. And aliens came up, and Rachel's all, oh, I don't believe in aliens. I'm just all, okay, you believe. She believes in ghosts and all this other stuff. But this one that I feel is like statistically most likely, I'm all, you don't think that somewhere out there, there's like a mold somewhere, somewhere else. And she's all, no, don't believe them. No.
And what was her reason for not believing?
She
didn't say.
Frankly, I was scared to ask.
No. Well, so what's weird is if you look at the stats right now, for some reason, UFO sightings are skyrocketing.
Is that us or them?
I don't know. Are they visiting more
or are we seeing them more?
Yeah. And so I wonder if they've been skyrocketing here. I wonder if there's people in our community here in Shasta County that have seen UFOs or seen them recently, or if there's anything they could share here in our audience.
I bet you there is.
I bet there is.
If you do have a crazy UFO sighting, terrifying or otherwise inspiring, give us a call at 530-605-4567. And tonight, we got a special guest on to help us understand UFOs, especially here in Northern California.
That's right.
We have Dev Rooney. She's the assistant director of Northern California MUFON and a UFO investigator in her own right. And she'll be with us for about 45 minutes answering our questions about UFOs in Northern California.
And we'll find out if you're right.
Well, I don't think we're going to get a definitive answer.
Okay.
You know, I think that if we got definitive answers to all these things, we'd be out of a job rather quickly.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. And don't forget that we are on, we're live streaming on Facebook, Radio Wasteland page on Facebook, and you can check out the good-looking guys here that are
totally
not in this show.
Right.
Right.
Jared, could you lean over?
Yeah, Jared, could you get in the camera? So yeah.
Yeah, there's the good looks. Yeah. So I am really excited about this. You know, aliens in general, I think, you know, there's this idea that comes up a lot, especially from an ancient alien investigator, Richard Hoagland, who believes that Hollywood is slowly moving us towards what's called disclosure. And that would be the government coming out and admitting that this is going on and that they know this is going on.
So that's happening?
Well, he believes that Hollywood, with their movies, is basically
letting the cat out of the bat, letting the pressure out of the story.
Yeah. Easing the pill, you know. So I don't know, you know. It seems like a lot of them are scary, though. So you would think that they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but it seems like if the story is that Hollywood's doing that, can we think of any other times in history that Hollywood did that? So we maybe could see that Hollywood has a history of letting the cat out of the bag or let the pressure out?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I do know that there was quite a bit of propaganda produced by Hollywood, both for, you know, marijuana, war bonds, and all sorts of things.
So they may very well have a history of doing that.
They might. They might.
Interesting.
But so many of them are scary, you know. They're not all, you know, even, yeah, I mean, alien, I don't want that.
Yeah.
You know, contact, I'm all right with contact.
Yeah, contact. It does seem like they are, there's a trend in the alien stories or the UFO stories where somehow they're extremely more advanced but have some extreme weakness that we managed to take advantage of in the last moment.
Totally.
Yeah. So maybe they're not so advanced. They just got lucky and their car made it all the way here.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Alien Nation.
Right.
That's kind of what happened there. They broke down.
They broke down.
Coasted in.
Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah. Well, what about that War of the Worlds where, like, they're just all, oh, they've come here to use our blood to feed their plant flowers.
Yeah.
In the remake of War of the Worlds. I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
Yeah, how likely is that?
You know, yeah.
I'm not going with that one.
Yeah. And if there are UFOs and they are up here, what are they doing just flying around checking things out? Aren't they landing and talking to us? You know, what? Why have they spent since the, you know, the 1920s or actually back into biblical times, there's descriptions of UFOs. Why aren't they coming down and talking to us?
Well, you know, one argument from people like Stephen Hawking and stuff like that is that if we were to find intelligent life, we might not even know it.
Oh, yeah.
We might not even be aware because their methods of communication might be so foreign to us that we might not even be aware that they are communicating with us.
Wow.
All right, so tonight, UFOs, we got Dev Rooney from Northern California MUFON coming here to answer some of our questions for us, and we'll see you back in a few.
It's been a long winter, and you've earned a little rest and relaxation this summer. But you can still make a big move towards your college degree with summer courses at Shasta College. Classes start June 12th, and now is the time to register and secure your summer classes. Shasta College has more for you. More classes so you can graduate faster. More programs so you can choose your perfect career path. More flexibility to work around your busy life schedule. And more ways to graduate and transfer than ever before. Summer enrollment is happening now, and we've made it easier than ever for you to register. Call 242-7650 to get started and get a jump on your future career with summer classes at Shasta College. The world is full of endless possibilities, and Shasta College is here to help you begin your dream and secure your future. It's your life, your path, and your college. We just help you bring it all together. Get your jump start at Shasta College. Get started. Call today, 242-7650.
You've heard B&T Satellite say, don't call the 800 number. Here's why. Summer's on its way, guys, and at B&T Satellite, they make TV easy for your boat, your RV, or even your treehouse. They're not a corporate call center. They actually listen to you, their cherished customers. Call 241-3474. Don't put up with a convoluted process that consists solely of sitting on hold. At B&T Satellite, business is done with your needs in mind. Listen to some happy customers as written on Yelp. Bonnie K. writes,
this year, we traded in our travel trailer for a larger one and wanted the trailer set up so we could use our satellite. After we picked up our new travel trailer and got it home, we could not use the satellite. Try as we might, it never worked. We called B&T Satellite and Doug to the rescue. What a great guy. It works like a charm, and he gave Bud and I another tutorial on how to operate it. We are technologically challenged, so we are happy and consider Doug a true friend. If you need help, he's your man.
Stephen P. writes,
these guys are the best. If you're thinking of getting satellite in NorCal, Dish. Call these guys. I worked with Doug, and I felt like I had a new friend when it was all said and done. Let them make TV easy for you. Call 241-3474 or on the web at btsatellite.com.
It's rodeo time. Steer wrestling, team roping, saddle bronc riding, barrel racing, and of course, bull riding. The 2017 Reading Rodeo is coming, and our own Reading Rodeo is the 2016 Hall of Fame inductees. And you can be there this year for all the action-packed fun. Get your advance tickets at readingrodeo.com and click on tickets. We will see you and all of your friends at the 2017 Reading Rodeo, May 17th through the 20th. That's readingrodeo.com.
Time has come for 51. Becoming the 51st state won't be easy, but it'll be worth it. Tired of California passing laws that make your life more difficult?
Find out what's happening and how you can help every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. with Wynn Carpenter
and Terry Raposa
here on KCNR 1460 a.m.
Listen for Jefferson State of Mind now at its new time, Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock here on AM 1460 KCNR.
Save the date for Friday, May 12th, as Wind River Resort and Casino and the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce are hosting Reading's 5th Annual Bacon and Brew Fest. Bacon and Brew fans unite and taste an array of bacon-inspired appetizers, entrees, and desserts provided by restaurants from around the area. What would bacon be without a cold one? Sample a variety of microbrews from area breweries. You are the judges at this savory event as vendors compete for prize money. Bring your appetite and be ready to quench your thirst at Reading's 5th Annual Bacon and Brew Fest. Plus, the Hill Street Band will be performing live, so you can boot, scoot, and boogie while satisfying your hunger and tossing back a cold one. Tickets $20 per person. Tastings included with purchase. Save the date for Friday, May 12th, for the 5th Annual Bacon and Brew Fest. Bacon and Brew Fest. From 5 to 9 p.m. For details, contact group sales at 530-339-7454 or log on to WinRiver.com. Bacon and Brew. It's better at the river.
All right, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We seem to have a whole theme going on tonight of surf rock. I wonder who came up with that.
You did. You totally said that you were going to do surf
rock. All ventures, all ventures.
Yeah,
right.
That was totally you.
All right, so we have something exciting for us tonight, and hopefully for you as well. We have Dev Rooney, Assistant Director of Northern California MUFON and UFO Investigator. Is Dev there for us?
You there, Dev?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Well, I'm glad you were able to make the time for us. With the last minute when I called you, I was between flights and trying to figure it out. I really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, no. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have come up with a bunch of questions, and we've tried to narrow down our questions into the amount of time that we have. And so, you know, our first batch of questions is really us trying to find out a little bit about you and about MUFON. So I guess my first question will be about you, Dev. was there an experience that initially got you interested in ufology? Did you see something or inspired by something when you were younger, you know, from movies to experiences your own? Or?
Well, I've always been interested in astronomy and UFOs my entire life, and I gave that a lot of thought because I always wondered why I was so interested in UFOs as a kid. But in 1976, I was already like maybe 20 at the time. I actually had a daylight sighting of two silent disc-shaped objects that were flying above me. I would say that they were about the size of a dime at arm's length, and they were flying towards the west. It was pretty exciting because it was during the day. I could clearly see their shape, and they were silent. There was two of them, and I knew what I was looking at was nothing conventional, you know.
Right.
I reported it to APRO at that time, which is the Aerial Phenomenon Research Organization. And then the following year, I ended up contacting Betty Hill by phone, and she encouraged me to continue my research and investigations of UFOs. And we did correspond, and I still actually have a letter from her that she written to me back then. But I've had many, many UFO sightings myself, including while I was out on live investigations. So,
Well, awesome. You know, sorry. You know, a lot of mine, unfortunately, have come from, well, maybe this is fortunate, too. I mean, they might be a little terrifying for some people, especially when I watch movies. I'm a big movie fan, and I think of movies like Fire in the Sky, and, you know, I'd rather not have some of those things happen to me. But
I would totally love for those things to happen. So you've actually been out on other this is Joe.
This is my co-host.
Yeah,
Joe.
Sorry, I jumped in.
Make the introductions.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. You've been out on other investigations. So someone would have said, hey, I think I see a UFO. You went out on an investigation, and then you saw what they were seeing? Is that what it would happen?
Well, what was happening, actually there was two incidents. One, I was living in Oregon, and I was the chief investigator for MUFON up there. And my assistant state director at the time had a case of his own, and he said, hey, you want to join me on an investigation? I'm going out to talk to the witness. I said, yeah, absolutely. So it was a sunny afternoon in the summer. We went out there, and the witness was really excited because he took a series of pictures of daylight, you know, daylight pictures of all these objects. And so we were there to collect the evidence as far as the pictures were concerned. And the guy was standing there talking to me, and I was kind of like said to him, show me in the sky like how they traveled. And he was pointing to the sky. And when we were looking up, he goes, hey, look. And I looked over, and I couldn't see what exactly he was seeing. And I looked up, and I said, where? What? And he goes, oh, it's gone. And then he goes, there it is. And I looked up, and I saw a dumbbell-shaped object morph into a circular shape. And I was like, oh, my God. And he said, here's the binoculars. And I ended up watching it. I was trying to take a picture of it with my brand-new camera, and my camera would not work. And I was really kind of upset by that, you know, like, ugh. And so my assistant state director, he ran to his car, and I'm going, where are you going? I'm going to get the video camera. Anyway, long story short, he videotaped it. Oh. Now, we were only like a few miles from Portland International Airport, and a plane was taken off, and I told him, I said, get that airplane in the frame of the video so we could see the distance, you know, like the size of the object mm-hmm. versus the plane and whether or not that object was lower, because it's very hard to determine an object in the sky when you have nothing to reference it,
right.
You know, like
absolutely.
If it was near a tree or over a house, then you can kind of get a better idea. The second time, after I moved back to Northern California, I was out on an investigation case in Oakland, and the guy lived up way in the expensive part of Oakland, and he had video, and I went up there that night to go look at it. And I said, I'd like to go out in your backyard and see and show me where this object was. So we went out to the backyard, and he had an amazing view of the Bay Area, and you could see San Francisco International. And then you could see, like, planes leaving Oakland Airport. And I happened to look up, and I said to him, well, you have a really great view of the sky. And I looked towards Orion, and I'm very, very familiar with the nighttime sky, and I, especially because I was interested in astronomy all my life. And I saw two bright white stars, which at first I thought were stars, and I said, wait a minute, those are not even a part of Orion. And the guy walks up to me, and he goes, what are you looking at? I go, those two objects right there, that's not part of Orion. And all of a sudden, they dimmed, and then it, like, they started moving away, like it was part of a solid object. And he made it, I said, oh, my
like
God, look
two,
at that. And
the two lights were part
the guy
of one
said,
object.
The guy said, oh, they... You spotted them, sir. They're leaving, as a joke. But yeah, it was. It's pretty cool when you are out on an investigation with the same with the witness, and then you see something, and they feel so validated. They like, see, you know, I'm not crazy.
Right. So when I was talking to you, you said that you were both the assistant director for Northern California MUFON and also a UFO investigator. So is a lot of what you do going out to substantiate reports like this?
Yes. Well, I hold the title of the Assistant State Director for Northern California MUFON. I'm also a field investigator for MUFON. And basically what that means is as a field investigator, you get assigned cases. And then you work them. You go out and talk with the witness and, you know, gather additional information. You start to ask them.
Yeah, maybe substantiate wasn't the right word, but investigate further.
Well, yes, you know, all that, all those parameters.
Yeah.
And so I myself, when I was up in Oregon, I was only there for a couple of years. I did 74 cases for them. And then I moved to back home to California here. So far to date, I've done like about 592 cases for Northern California.
Wow.
That is a lot of... So this is maybe a little out there, but how... Let's say of these 500, how many of the people that you talked to did you feel were totally credible?
We're telling the truth.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously going to be some people who are either joshing you for attention or due to some mental problems, but I'm sure that there's a percentage that when you look at them, this is a regular Joe just like me. And
mine is always a regular Joe.
You are a regular Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I would say... I would say as far as if they were, you know, pulling our leg or actually doing a hoax, you know, like what we call a keystroke, hoax keystroke, that's like they're just trying to tell a story for attention or, you know, it's a small percentage.
Is it?
You know, the important thing is when someone puts in a report, and you read it, and you look at all the boxes that they check off, that gives you all this information about, you know, the altitude and the direction and everything. When you talk with them, you ask them to, you know, tell you about that particular sighting, and then you can kind of listen to what they have to say if they're coming close to what they originally reported.
Mm-hmm.
When you
just
start
like
asking them additional questions, if they can't seem to put it in a chronological timeline, and they start, and then they start adding stuff, and this is, you know, kind of a big deal when they add things that you could kind of tell when they're making it up. And, but that doesn't, you know, a lot of people, they're sincere in reporting, you know, they truly believe what they saw, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One reason why I'm interested in these things is because I've talked to so many people that I just knew personally who were very confident. We're coming up on break here, Dev. It's going to be a couple few minutes, and then we'll be back with some more questions.
All right.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
The Red Bluff Roundup is on April 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Get your tickets now. $250,000 is up for grabs with 600 of the toughest cowboys. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab the good seats while you can. It's constant action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, and wild pony riding, rodeo clowns, and more. Friday night, brought to you by Food Max and Tri-County Bank. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7, and an after party with live music of Northern Heat. Saturday is Wells Fargo Bank and Red Bluff Dodge Day. Gates open at 12 and rodeo at 2:30, and an evening concert by Nashville recording artist Granger Smith.
If the boot fits.
And Sunday is St. Elizabeth's Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Roundup office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab, and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab, and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600, or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location. So check out Solar, may be able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com, then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
Come join Bob and Chick Miller of Bella Vista Farms Animal Sanctuary the evening of April 21st at the Wind River Event Center for their annual fundraising dinner and auction. It'll be a wonderful evening of fun, great food, entertainment, and a fantastic auction. 100% of money raised goes to the care and feeding of abandoned and abused animals that call the farm their forever home. Some of the great items to be auctioned off include a South Africa photo safari for two, 7 nights of luxurious accommodations at the St. James Club and Villa on Antigua, 5 days accommodations in Cancun, Mexico, and a 1-day park hopper ticket for 4 to Disneyland. So get your tickets today at any Redding or Anderson VCA Animal Clinic, online at bellavistafarm.org, or give Chick a call at 347-0544. Get $5 off if you purchase your tickets before March 31st. And remember, it's all about the animals.
All right, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We have an exciting show tonight where we have our guest, the Northern California Assistant Director of MUFON, Dev Rooney. Are you there with us, Dev?
I sure am.
We were hoping to find out a little bit more about MUFON and what exactly MUFON is.
Okay. Well, the Mutual UFO Network was established in 1969, and they are the oldest and largest UFO organization in the world.
So is it a collection of different groups, or is it one nationally run group?
Yeah, it's one group, okay. And it's worldwide. And they have their corporate office in L.A. They also have a board of directors and a science review board of about nine scientists with backgrounds like electrical engineering and physics and chemistry, biology, computer science, and astronomy. They have an annual symposium. I think the next one is coming up in Las Vegas this year on July 20th through the 23rd. And they have membership of over 4,000 people.
Can you get us tickets?
They created a database, which is their UFO case management system, and that system actually has 80,000-plus UFO cases.
We were looking at some of those on the website.
Yeah. Well, you can if you go to MUFON.com, they have an interactive like map, and you can see like the latest 20 cases that come in. Which is pretty cool. So,
and how did you get involved with MUFON?
Well, I actually joined MUFON back in the early 80s, and I became a member. And I ended up attending a San Jose meeting. And
so you seeked it out?
I did. Well, I was part of APRO, the Aerial Phenomenon Research Organization, where I was a member. And then I found out about MUFON because I was attending a lot of the UFO conventions in the Bay Area in the 80s. And so I found out about MUFON and then joined as a member and went to a meeting and stuff. But I had already been investigating on my own and doing a lot of research. And I didn't keep up on my dues, so I kind of dropped out. But I returned to MUFON in 2008 while I was living up in Oregon, and I became the chief investigator up there. And was doing, actually, when I was up in Oregon, I was the one responsible for assigning cases. So I ended up taking a lot of the cases and going out and, you know, doing live investigations out there. There was, you know, Oregon doesn't have as many cases or reports being submitted as much as California.
Is that because of the population? Is it less?
Yes, I would say so, and because of the weather. Mm. Here in California, when we have a lot more people and the weather is better, it rains a lot in Oregon. But, you know, the weather has a big factor about that because people are outside and, you know, they're able to see the sky and the stars and they're, you know, looking up and observing things, and that's when they end up seeing things. So that's why California ends up having they're the leader in submitted reports for MUFON in the United States. California is.
I have about 10 hours worth of questions for you.
I know, right?
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that strikes me right out the gate here is you're explaining MUFON and what you're doing. I mean, you're articulate. You know, it seems like you're coming from the idea that you want to know what's going on and investigate, which is, you know, it seems like above board. We hear how many members there are. We hear how much effort goes into this. Why is this not more well known? Why isn't it regular media? Why aren't there things like newspapers and things like that covering some of your work and your research? What's going on?
Well, MUFON, you know, they have their own journal.
Mm-hmm.
That they put out monthly. And if you're a member, if you join MUFON, you're going to get that journal. And so you're going to be in the know about a lot of what goes on as far as UFO sightings and reports and investigations because it's MUFON's journal. They also realize that, just like a lot of people, a lot of us know, that the media isn't going to take UFO sightings seriously. Right. There's still a stigma of, oh, you must be crazy if you're seeing, you know, flying saucers or, you know, little green men or whatever. There's still a little bit of a stigma where, and there's a lot of people that still don't believe in UFOs or extraterrestrial life. So I think that answers the question of why the media isn't really getting all over this.
Yeah, it's still so In all of your investigations so far, do you or MUFON have an opinion on what you think's happening overall? Like, are we really being visited, or are there, you know, is the government using crafts that we just don't know about for 30 years? I mean, is there some kind of opinion being formed generally?
Oh, I sh- I believe so. I mean, MUFON puts out an annual symposium, and they get some of the top speakers and actually present a lot of information. There's actually a lot of UFO conventions that happen per year. They're doing the same thing, and they're not MUFON, but they have some of the top UFO researchers and authors speaking at these conventions. So mm-hmm. a lot of that information that's being found and researched is being told to the public who actually attend these conventions.
Mm-hmm.
My personal belief, because I have been a UFO researcher and investigator for decades, and I've spoken to countless people, it's amazing, is that, yes, I believe, personally, I believe that we have always been visited. I mean, I don't know if you watch Ancient Aliens, they kind of show a lot of structures and, you know, like depictions of aliens that were drawn by, mm-hmm. you know,
Absolutely.
These civilizations that have come before us. But I really truly believe that there has always been what we would consider extraterrestrial life on this planet.
So given the collection of knowledge that you know, from sightings and reports, mm-hmm. do you feel that their intentions are benevolent or nefarious? Or do you
I would say that both. I think there are races that are hoping that mankind will evolve spiritually, and I just think that there's other beings out there that want to control us.
So probably not too different from what humans have done traveling continent to continent.
Yeah. Exactly.
That just led me to one of my other 10 hours worth of questions. So of the 500 plus investigations you've done here in California, is there some percentage or how many of those are there was really contact of some kind or that's just a UFO? Is it common for contact from within the UFOs or even maybe communication from the UFO or anything like that? Is that common?
Right, like are most sightings or are most actual interactions?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I would say no. Yeah. The it's a higher percentage of people actually having a sighting.
Mm-hmm.
And that just is a visual of something anomalous in their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about when there are people that actually report to us about communication with an entity, whether or not they saw a UFO along with that, and sometimes it's no, the answer is no. It's that they feel that they've had some kind of communication with an entity. You know, these are hard. Those types of cases are hard to distinguish whether or not, you know, we can't really substantiate. I mean,
right.
I have witness testimony. That's what I have.
Right.
Right. Right.
I don't have, hey, where's the alien? Where's the video? Where's the picture of an alien?
Yeah,
I mean, clear.
Right.
I mean, something that no one would, you know, can refute. You know, it's not like, hey, this is solid proof. Nobody has that, in my opinion. So we have witness testimony. That's what we have.
Mm-hmm.
We have people that come forward and say, look, this you may think I'm crazy or you may not believe me, but this is what I saw. This is what I experienced. And that's what we have to go on.
Well, it looks like we're coming up on break here. We really appreciate it. We'll be back in a couple
don't go
of
anywhere.
Minutes.
Don't we'll be right back.
Okay.
We'll be right back with you. Thank you.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media sound bites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, brought to you by Powerhouse Solar of Reading, Sundays at noon on KCNR.
This is Janet from PirateSecret.com. Pirate Secret essential oils are legendary old world wellness potions that you rub into your skin, face, feet, and beard for wellness, grooming, and hygiene. The herbs found in our special blend of essential oils have been used in medicinal applications throughout history. We invite you to experience the nourishing and moisturizing benefits of Pirate Secret essential oils on your skin and beard. Available at Enjoy the Store, Orchard Nutrition, Country Organics, and six other NorCal locations. For more information, visit us at PirateSecret.com.
Simpson University will prepare you to be a teacher in just 12 months. Start summer, fall, or spring and fill the need for the next generation of educators. Many Simpson students have landed teaching jobs before completing their credential program. We'll show you how you can accomplish this and receive an instructional iPad too. Simpson University offers scholarships, grants, and financial aid to help you achieve your educational goals. Call 1-888-9-SIMPSON or go online to simpsonu.edu/credential for more details.
It's termite swarm season again when termites quickly expand their already large colonies. Because of the quiet and hidden nature of termites, they are often undetected until the damage has already occurred. If you suspect your house has termites, call the professionals at Big Time Pest Control immediately for a free estimate. Big Time Pest Control will guarantee extermination of termites, insects, spiders, and rodents. Call 530-242-8830. Big Time service at a price you can afford. Big Time Pest Control.
What a fitting song to return to. This is Radio Wasteland, and that song was Secret Agent Man.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you.
Right, right.
That's also uncool.
And we are talking to Dev Rooney from MUFON. Dev, I had a question or two for you. You had talked about some shapes, and initially we were going to talk about shapes of UFOs and flying saucers and such, but we ended up getting you as a guest, which ended up being more interesting. But I do have a few questions about them, if I can ask you.
Okay.
Like, originally people talked about flying saucers, but over the years sightings have expanded into, like, a large array of types of sightings. And so is there a really broad spectrum of types of ships that people are seeing? I don't even know if ship is the right word. Type of objects that people are seeing?
Well, yes, and I checked out the our database for the last 6 months here in Northern California, and it looks like there was the most reported in the last 6 months were spheres, a sphere shape. So there was 15 of those, and then there was.
And is this not a ball of light, but a sphere, like a solid sphere?
Yeah, like an orb.
I see.
You know, like circular, you know what I'm saying? We mm-hmm. have, actually in MUFON, we have a lot of different shapes that they can actually choose to describe in their minds what they saw.
Mm-hmm.
And some of this, let's see, so in the last 6 months here, we've had a lot of star-like objects, about nine of those, nine triangular-shaped ones. Six other, they chose other, and a lot of times that might mean that these shapes could have been morphing into a different shape.
Like you
something
had said
that I had shared
one.
With you earlier yeah. in the program. There was ovals, five of those, and five square or rectangular crafts, four egg-shaped, three circles, three disc-shaped, three fireballs, two bullet or missile-shaped, two teardrop-shaped, one cone-shaped, one flash, one chevron-shaped, and one cylinder-shaped.
All in Northern California in the last 6 months?
Yeah.
That's a lot of traffic.
Wow.
You know, actually, I've actually given some presentations, and I've actually, over the last few years, showed how many cases we were getting, and it seems to have slowed down for us anyway. Yeah. So here's the thing. A lot of people that actually put in a report, one of the first things they want to know is, did anybody else see that?
Right,
you know?
Right.
And then I'll check the database to see if anybody else reported it. And I always tell them, I says, you know, a lot of times people don't know that they can report it somewhere, number one. Number two, other people don't want to tell anybody. And they don't, for fear of ridicule, right?
Right.
So,
or just even for doubting what they saw, I'm sure.
Or we're busy
people,
right?
Yeah, they might
right?
say, well, yeah, they could be trying to explain it away in yeah. their own minds. Mm-hmm. Or they'll just get all excited about it and go, yeah, yeah, tell a couple people, and then it's, you know, over. They don't report it or anything. So, you know, there is a lot of things that get cited, but they don't report it a lot of times, I really believe.
Well, I'm a super imagination guy. And so my first question was kind of segue to my second question, which is what I really mm-hmm. want to know, because it really tickles my imagination. And, like, there are lots of people are convinced that there are multiple types of aliens, mm-hmm. that there are reptilian aliens and insectoids and grays and, I don't know, emperor grays and are different shapes associated with any of these different ideas of aliens that are out there?
Well,
I realize
first
not
of
from
all,
the database. I realize the database can't really answer this question. I'm just
well,
wondering.
No,
if,
but you yeah. know, my memory, you know, of working these cases, and here's the thing: we get a lot more sighting reports of the crafts or anomalies, and they don't see any aliens.
Right.
Right. Now, if we get anyone that actually has a close encounter, which is 500 feet or less of the witness, and they see a craft, and it maybe if it was landed and they saw an alien come out, that's really the only time we're going to get that kind of information. That doesn't really happen a lot.
Right.
If abduction cases, I've actually worked many investigations where people have reported seeing specific shaped objects like the rectangle, triangle, cylinder, and disc-shaped crafts at a close range. That's when they realize at that time that they've had some kind of missing time, and then they'll report
yeah.
like an abduction. I don't use that term when I talk to someone. I never tell them that they're abducted. Mm-hmm. I can't prove that. I will mm-hmm. never tell anyone that they've been abducted or they've had missing time. What I will do as an investigator is I will get a chronological timeline. I will ask them, okay, what happened next? Well, we pulled over after seeing this light in the sky, and then the thing came down. And I said, okay, what's the shape? Well, it was a rectangle or triangle. And I'll say, okay, and how close do you think that was? And then they'll describe how big it was, that they pulled over, got out of their car, they start to talk about the lights maybe around the perimeter of this craft or what have you. And at that moment, then what happens? Then they say, well, the funny thing is, the next thing I know, I'm driving a few miles down the road, and I don't even remember doing that. I just remember seeing the craft really close, and the next thing, they're down the road driving, and they have no recollection of how that happened, like from one moment to the next. I know, as an investigator, something happened.
Yeah.
Because your mind, you're fully awake. You should remember what happens next. And then when I do the chronological timeline, that's when they start to realize, oh yeah, you know, I guess I was abducted or something. And I'll just go, You know, I won't be like telling them, yeah, you were. You know, it's not my job to scare anybody. It's my job to just take down all of the information as much as I can get from their conscious memory.
Well, that's something that I'm definitely appreciating from learning about MUFON from you and your own investigations, is that you guys seem to, you know, as much interest and excitement and maybe imagination is in there, when it comes down to brass tacks, you guys seem to be following the scientific method and basically not filling in holes as much as you can.
Now, before we run out of time, because I'm sitting here thinking to myself a couple things. One is, I didn't know you were here, and I don't want to lose track of you, right? So what's your website, Facebook page? How does our audience, how do we follow you? And do you ever take people out with you on investigations, like co-hosts of radio shows?
Well, we're not supposed to bring anyone other than certified MUFON investigators. And I didn't get a chance to actually tell the audience that, yes, you can become an investigator. If you go to MUFON.com, there it explains in detail how to become an investigator.
Mm-hmm.
But let me give you the audience some contact information. First of all, we have a Northern California MUFON Facebook page, and I try to make sure that meetings and some of the information, some events are posted there. Also, our website is northerncaliforniamufon.com. I created that website, and there's quite a bit of information of the different meetings here in Northern California for one in Sacramento, San Jose, and Petaluma. Also, an events page where I list as many UFO conventions and events that are coming up here in Northern California. Also, an About Us page, and it profiles myself, some investigators, and our state director, Ruben Urardi. And also, I just wanted to say, we're having our annual, Northern California MUFON is having their annual meetup April 1st in Tracy, and anyone is welcome to come. It's at the Round Table Pizza on Nagley Road. And I just started a meetup as well for where in my hometown of Rockland, California, and I'm having my first meeting April 22nd, where we can at the round table there, and I'm on meetup group. So if anyone want to check that out, where we would talk about UFOs, Bigfoot, Dogman, all the cryptozoology. Creatures, just all kinds of things related to all those things. So
sounds like a pizza party after my own heart.
Put that out there.
Yeah, that's awesome stuff. That's no kidding. The perfect pizza party is what
you're
describing.
I'm just like,
so if you've gone on, and I don't know, how much time do we have, Jared? We have 1 minute, so we're gonna have to go in a second. But how do people support you and MUFON doing this? I mean, someone's got to help fund all this, right?
Well, yes, that's why they want to try to get as many memberships and people who sign up for, investigations and want to become an investigator. Because, you have to pay to be a member and pay yearly dues. And to become an investigator, you must keep up on those dues.
All right, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we're at the end of our show, and we're going to make sure that your information is on our website as well, on our Facebook page, and try to get it out there to everybody who's listened to us. and we really appreciate it. That's Dev Rooney from Northern California MUFON on Radio Wasteland.
Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Val Dior. Congress has one more week of recess before it returns to Washington and gets back to work. Correspondent Linda Kenyon has the story.
Back to work in the Senate means back to the business of funding the government. Will the Republican-controlled Senate be able to move forward on the process without help from Democrats?
None of these can be done one party only.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
All of that will have to be done on a bipartisan basis, and I fully intend, and I think the Democratic leader can speak for himself, but I'm confident he looks at it the same way.
But even before the annual appropriations, Democrats and Republicans will have to work together to pass another short-term funding bill to avert a government shutdown by the